that generational trauma is definitely passed on, because it's like your parents, they don't know how to get the help. They were kind of in survival mode. Right?
You're so smart. Gosh, sorry, you're so smart.
Yes. They were in survival mode. They were just trying to survive. They were trying to put food on the table. And that's why it's hard to fault them.
So that's the voice of Zara, who I met a few weeks ago at a Valley Leadership event. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But the reason I brought her on this podcast today was to talk about something she created called the Zen Den. You see, Zara's got a firsthand look at mental health and wellness within her own family, and she could see her fellow students struggling with it as well. So she did something about it. She is just incredible, and I hope you enjoy our conversation today on Learn from People Who Lived It.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Chris Powell. And before we start the podcast, I got a question for you. Do you want to start a healthy habit? Do you want to feel great for the rest of the day? And do you want to do all of that in less than 3 minutes? I'm on a mission to move 1 million people every single day with my nonprofit and app called Move 1 Million. It's fast, easy, fun, and you'll feel great for the rest of the day. Oh, and the best part? It's 100% free. You can find us at m1m.org or search M1M on the Google Play Store or on the App Store.
I'd like you to consider for just a moment that more than half of the people who are listening to the sound of my voice will have a heart attack, stroke, or heart failure in their lifetime. However, research shows us that up to 90% of heart disease and stroke is preventable. I think about my own father, who died by heart attack at just 47 years old, and I wonder how much longer he'd be around if we'd just known about Healthspan MD. Dr. Todd Hurst, a board-certified cardiologist, is not just my doctor. He's helped thousands of people just like you and me with his approach. Healthspan MD is the way healthcare is supposed to be, an ongoing partnership between you and your expert healthcare team that guides you step by step on the best opportunities to achieve your health, weight, and longevity goals. Please take a minute and sign up for his 3-step consultation and witness the Healthspan MD difference for yourself, so you can be here longer for your family and, most importantly, yourself. HealthspanMD.com. Healthspan MD, an insurance-based practice.
Find Learn from People Who Lived It wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word. Learn from People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn from People Who Lived It.
Well, howdy, everybody. It is great to be here today. We are at Phoenix Union and Central High School. I'm sitting next to Zara, who I met at an event. We'll talk about all those things here in just a couple of minutes. She's the youngest of 5 kids, and she's seen that battle of mental health firsthand within her own family, and probably one of the reasons she started something called the Zen Den, which we are here to talk about today. So hello, Zara, how are you?
Hello, Matthew. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to speak with you today, and I'm excited to talk about things people don't talk about.
Yeah, right? That's kind of the deal. But your generation is really that generation that, at least in my opinion, is starting to break that stigma and that mold, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think our generation, there can be a lot of negative views and negative light on us, but I think one thing that we can fully take ownership is holding people accountable and making change. And the first step to change is addressing the problem.
There it is.
I think we're addressing the problem and we're talking about it finally. It's been many years, but that's the beauty in it.
All right, so let's just jump right into this. And I've got a bunch of questions that I want to ask you along the way, and we'll just jump in. But you created something here called the Zen Den.
Yes.
So I think the first question that most people would have after they hear something like that is, what is that?
Right.
What did you start?
That's a great question. So in short terms, the Zen Den is a mental health and wellness club aimed at providing support and comfort and spreading positivity to our campus community and others around us. Now, a little story about Zen Den. So I think we all can agree that we kind of had some issues sophomore year, maybe a little pandemic or something like that.
And it hit everybody, didn't it?
Right, it did. And throughout seeing the damages, especially with students struggling with online learning and just adjusting, and I think it was just a challenging time for everyone, but young kids especially. And the second semester, we came back to school in person. And I spoke with my sports medicine teacher, and I kind of just said my ideas that I've been having since, like, freshman year about, like, mental health is such a major issue and problem in our society, and I see kids around me every single day struggling with depression and anxiety and eating disorders, and, you know, the list goes on and on, but there's nothing done about it. You know, there was no club, there was no organization. You know, I think every school requires to have, you know, counselors and social workers, which, you know, they're amazing. I know them personally at our campus. However, you know, as a freshman, as a sophomore, you know, I didn't know those resources were available to me. So, you know, I'm telling these ideas to my teacher, and she's like, okay, well, why don't you just start it? And I was like, oh, you could do that? So I took the measures.
That's funny. A lot of people just don't even know that they can start. It's like,
exactly,
yeah, go for it.
Exactly. And I think it just seemed intimidating to me because I think that was probably the first time I was, you know, starting something. You know, I've ran things. I've been president of clubs and stuff like that. But that was the first time where it's like, everything is fresh. You know, there's no rubric to how you're supposed to go about it. So I first talked to our school social worker, and I kind of just said my ideas, and he was really on board, and we just got the paperwork rolling, and it was kind of a process. We had to, you know, get it approved and things like that. And
did you run into any roadblocks? Were there any adults who were like, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea? Because it seems to me like everybody, as soon as you started talking, was like, green light, green light, green light, green light.
Yeah, well, I'm really grateful that our school has such a supportive community. And, you know, I think at first it was kind of like, yeah, sure, you can do whatever you want. You can start it. I don't think, you know, many of them really understood the concept, maybe, you know, the extent of the things I wanted to do. But I had a lot of support, and I think that was because they saw the issues too.
Yeah.
It was kind of just a consensus, an agreement that, like, kids are struggling and they're going through a lot. And it was like, okay, we know that student to student is going to be more beneficial than, you know, sometimes adult to student.
Sure.
It was just a different dynamic.
It is.
So, you know, you connect with students, you're able to relate to them. There is an age difference. You know, I think, you know, you can understand your own people, you know what I'm saying?
Totally. I completely get it. And what's important to note here is that this isn't therapy. This isn't like people coming in and laying on a couch and sitting down and talking about their problems. You do talk about things like that, but what happens at the average Zen-Den experience?
Yeah, no, I think people's immediate thought with getting mental health help or services, the immediate thought is therapy and medication. But throughout the research that I've done, and I think just the research that's out there, there are so, so many ways to improve your mental health and well-being. And I'm a strong believer in having strong community structures that helps overall mental health and physical health, because, you know, those are so correlated with each other. So how I wanted Zen-Den to run, the first thing is no pressure. You know, I wanted it to be very relaxed. Like, I think my first idea is I literally wanted to have, like, a yoga music in the background, like have a wax warmer, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
Just make it a very relaxing and welcoming environment. So that's always my main goal in every meeting is people are
make it inviting.
Yeah, make it inviting, exactly. And so we always start with check-ins. I love to do your highs and lows of the week or of the last time, you know, I spoke to them. And something that surprised me, kids are so honest about it. Because, like, at the beginning, you think they're going to be like, oh, no, I don't really have a high, I don't really have a low. But kids were really honest about their highs and their lows. And one thing that I love seeing is when, you know, I share a high or I share a low, and then another student jumps in and is like, yeah, me too.
Right.
I'm failing math too.
So powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just so beautiful to see because you see that we all have more commonalities than we have differences.
So Zara, the literal point of this podcast, Learn From People Who Lived It, is to help other people feel less alone and encourage them to talk about it.
I love that.
That is exactly what we are here to do today, is to help other people understand that you're not alone. There's other people going through very similar things to you, and that if you
can just kind of open up about it, tell people how you're feeling, thinking, what kind of stuff is going through your head. Boy, there's just a lot of like, that happens
to
people.
It's a weight off your shoulders.
Right.
You are not alone.
That's it. I want to ask you a question. When people are sharing highs and lows, and you don't have to get specific, mm-hmm. what kinds of situations are stressing kids out in high school these days that you notice from not only your perspective, but, you know, some of your peers?
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone is unique and there's a range of issues that people struggle with. But the main thing that I hear students repeatedly talk about is their stress in school. School stress, you know, someone's failing math, you know, I have late assignments, I'm stressed about school, like, it's constant, I'm anxious about a class, I'm stressed about a class, I'm stressed, like, it's just always, you know.
Where do you think that comes from? Is that pressure from parents? Is it pressure from teachers?
Well, I think it's pressure all around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially, like, for me personally, I think there is a lot of outside pressure in,
the lights just went off in our recording studio. I don't even know how to turn them on. Do you?
You need to like wave for it. Like wave and get some motion.
I have to tell you, okay, there it is. We got the lights back on. They just came off. So you don't
know
this.
It's like motion sensor.
You totally don't know this, but a few weeks ago, I was recording a podcast at the Durango Detention Center. And I was in talking to this dude, Cordero Holmes, mm-hmm. and we're literally right in the middle of our podcast and the entire power in the building went
out. No way.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. And so when the lights just flickered off here, I thought, here we go again.
Okay.
Here we go again. No, but anyways, okay. So the pressure is from everywhere.
It is. Yeah. I think the pressure comes from many sources and it could be different for everyone. But for me personally, I feel like the pressure that I have on myself has been the greatest pressure. The expectations.
Yeah.
Exactly. The expectations that you have on yourself, on bettering yourself. I think also, there's such a stereotype and culture of, like, you constantly have to better yourself. You constantly have to, like, hustle and, like, one-up everyone else. And that constant go, go, go. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of hypocritical to say that, oh, yeah, this is going to benefit your mental health and it's going to be so good for you, right? Which it can for some people. But on the other spectrum, if you don't meet every single thing on that checklist, you're going to feel like a failure.
Mm.
And I think that is a feeling that many students feel in my club.
I have a question. Do you think that parents and administrators and teachers understand how important school is to kids? Because what I'm getting out of you is this idea that, you know, there can be this thought process that's from parents especially, mm-hmm. who says, well, my kids don't care about school. They don't get it the way that I get it. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You almost don't need mom and dad and teachers to be piling on. Like, you're throwing enough pressure on yourself.
No, yeah, exactly. I think parents and teachers can see one behavior that a kid is having and directly correlate it to them not caring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kid failed a class or is, you know, not doing the best. They just don't care. They don't care about their education. They're what's wrong with our generation.
Right.
But in reality, that kid could care so much.
Right.
You know, that kid could have been up all night studying, and maybe that kid just learns differently.
Right.
Like, I know for me, you know, I'd like to say I'm a high-achieving student. You know, I try to get all A's and things like that. But by no means can I read a textbook and I'd understand it and I'd get an A. I'd fail the class. So everyone learns differently. And something I feel like I was never taught was how to learn, how to study. These tools that are going to make me successful in my education, I don't necessarily think I had those resources available to me. And I think that's what we can improve on in our education.
Okay. So let's get back to this question. What else is stressing kids out these days? What other types of situations? So there's school is one. What's some of the others?
School is definitely a big factor. I also think general relationships,
sure.
You know, I'm not talking about just romantic ones, but friend relationships, family relationships. And I remember one time we were all sitting down and someone was talking about their low, and it was a relationship with a friend, and, you know, they were struggling, you know, and she was like, we just haven't talked. Like, we just kind of avoided each other.
Mm.
I think many people can relate. That's not how you properly communicate. Yeah. And everyone else was like, yeah, great, cut her out, you know.
It is the recipe for stress is to have unfinished business.
Exactly.
Right.
But I also think what stuck out to me was there was no communication.
Sure.
But you can't really blame the kid because who taught them how to communicate?
That's it. Are you, or, and when I say you, I mean you and high school students.
Right.
Are you stressed out about things like your relationship with your parents? Are you stressed out about things like money? Are you stressed out about things like college? Are you stressed out about things like politics? Like, where
all
do some of those,
above.
All of the above?
All of the above.
You're thinking about all of that stuff.
All of the above. I think the abundance of information we have, yeah, especially with technology and social media, has been such an amazing tool, but all of that is so hard to process.
Yeah.
That pressure of like, we want to make change, we want to start movements, but we have to have self-improvement and we have to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then we also can't take care of ourselves too much because we have to take care of our families.
Right.
And, you know, you have to get into this college and you have to have this job and you have to also, on top of that, you have to look a certain way and you have to meet, right, these types of standards. And the list goes on and on and on and on.
Who puts that pressure on you?
I mean, I think we put that pressure on ourselves, yeah, if I'm being honest. I think we create the culture, and I think the cultures that we've created haven't necessarily been positive. You know, I'm not a black or white type of, I'm very much gray and in the middle. So everything I say, I'm like, but it can also be positive. It can be negative. Mm-hmm. But that's just the reality of life. But I think the cultures that we've created are not the best because it's the culture that you have to do so much to be worthy. It's like you can't just be a teenager and you can't just like live and you can't just breathe. You have to have something that you're, and I think, and I don't even think it extends to teens. I think it's adults and everyone in life. I think it just looks different in different forms. As generations go further and further, it just looks a certain way.
Are you stressed out with regard to parent relationships? Do kids kind of talk about their parents and any pressure that they're getting from them? Or
100%.
Yeah, volatility.
Yeah, I think parents can I think parents can be, you know, supportive and everything. However, parents might not know about mental health. A lot of students, they express that, no, I can't go to therapy because my mom or dad don't believe in it.
Mm.
And, you know, you're under 18. Even the free therapy that's out there, you still need parent signatures for. So
that's the reason we need things like the Zen Den.
Exactly.
Like a good community space for your peers to hang out.
Exactly. And I also think, especially in regard to the community that we're in, you know, our school is, you know, Title I school. So we have a lot of, you know, first generation immigrant, sure, families and things like that. And I think there's a lot of generational trauma that's passed down,
yes,
to kids.
You don't, like, have to think. I know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. My mom, for example, she immigrated here late 90s, and she escaped from the war and from Saddam Hussein's dictatorship. So she came here as a refugee and all alone, three kids. That whole deal, right? And I was born here, but that generational trauma is definitely passed on because it's like your parents, they don't know how to get the help. They were kind of in survival mode, right?
You're so smart. Gosh, smart.
They were in survival mode. They
Literally.
Were just trying to survive. They were trying to put food on the table. And that's why it's hard to fault them. Also,
yes,
it's like a lot of times students feel guilty for talking about these things with their parents because it's like, how can you fault them when they were just trying to survive?
Well, and there's a thing, Maslow is famous for having this hierarchy of needs, is what he calls it.
Yeah.
And when any of us are in survival mode, there are basic needs that need to get met before you can start to have the add-ins, right?
Exactly.
So if you don't have food on the table, a place to live, school for your kids, right, a car to get everybody to where they need to go, like, I'm sorry, everything else is kind of off the table until we get those basic needs met. Now,
exactly,
once we get those basic needs met, now we can start building on it. But
yeah,
what I'm hearing from you is, like, you personally, your situation was, we came here, it took time to get our basic needs met.
Yeah.
And nobody can really get through that any other way than to kind of survive it. It's tough to thrive in that environment.
Exactly. There is no happiness. Mm. It's surviving. And I think a lot of students can relate to the fact that, you know, if you're going to talk to your parents and your family about your mental health issues or maybe just about what you're feeling, it's like, oh, well, we gave you a roof. We gave you food on the table. You know, yada, yada. It's like this list goes on, and it's just, it's hard to get help and get through to your parents when they don't see the issue.
You know full well that your parents, my parents, all of our, that whole group of people, there is a connotation that to need therapy is weak.
Exactly.
Right? It is like, it's make-believe. Like,
exactly.
Life's tough, suck it up. That's how it is, right? There's that attitude out there from parents. I can tell by the look in your eye that you've maybe heard that a time or two in your life.
Yeah, no, there is. It's, I'm going to give a little anecdote about this.
Please.
So once we were in online learning, and I was in my government class, and, you know, it's definitely a different type of way of learning, right? Mm. So students were struggling. It was kind of like a collective. We're all like messaging, like, this doesn't make sense. You know, let's talk to our teacher. So, you know, we did the most dangerous thing, and that's unmute our mics. And we unmuted, and we kind of collectively were like, woo. And
the again, lights just went off again.
Yeah. You just got to do a little dance.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got to kind of like...
This is amazing. What do people do when they have meetings here? I'm going to get
suspense.
Up and flip. There's a light switch over there I'm going to go hit. I'm going to see if that works. Okay, but keep giving your anecdote. I'll be right back.
This is good for the plot.
Yeah.
Hi, we're back. Yeah, that should work.
All right. We'll see if that goes.
Hopefully.
Okay, so you guys, so you unmute your microphone.
Right.
What happens
yes.
next?
So we kind of spoke to the teacher, like, is there other ways that we can get this material, maybe like through a podcast or auditory ways? Like, I know I'm an auditory and visual learner. And the teacher was really receptive, and it was a good discussion. And then a parent was there, you know, and they kind of unmuted for their kid and put their camera on and was like, you guys are wasting time. Like, this is why you guys are failing, because you're not actually learning history. You're just taking time and you're complaining.
Mm.
And me, like, I've never been one to be quiet. So I was like, no, we're not complaining. We're communicating because we have certain needs, and our class can run much more efficiently if we're just discussing about what works for us. You know, it's not the teacher's fault. It's not our fault. It's nobody's fault. It's just, we just need to discuss and talk about what's going to work for us.
Gosh. That's such a real thing you just said.
And she was like, well, in my generation, like, we didn't even have access to laptops, you guys have everything accessible for you guys, and yada, yada. It just went on, and
it's tough.
It was tough. It was hard, because it's like, we need to have these discussions to make us successful, and when we get reactions like that, like, that's going to discourage us.
It shuts you down immediately.
Exactly. It's going to shut us up. It's going to be like, okay, we'll just suck it up and I'll just get the bad grade because I'm not learning properly. It's just, oh, whatever. My voice doesn't matter. And one thing that I really tried to tell, you know, our Zenden crew and kids around me, that your voice does matter.
Yeah, it does.
It matters more than you think it does. It only takes one person to make change and make things happen. And it doesn't have to be big. You know, you don't have to start a movement where billions of people are following you. No, it literally just your small community, your family around you. I think, like I mentioned before, the first step to change, or however you want to call it, is learning about it, educating. And that's a little bit how we kind of incorporate that into Zenden as well. You know, we'll have kind of a week where we talk about depression and anxiety. And
what kinds of things are you discussing? I mean, it's more than just here's the definition of anxiety.
Right.
It's like what? Like, what's making you anxious? Or
right. I always like, if I'm introducing a mental health topic, I always like to start with a discussion.
Okay.
So it's like, what does depression mean to you?
Mm.
How have you seen depression? What can we do as our small little community to help kids who have depression?
Mm-hmm.
If you're having depression, then what is going to make you feel better about that? I really emphasize, like, put yourself in that person's shoes if you're not already in it, which most of the time they are.
Yeah.
But put yourself in that person's shoes. What would make you feel better to hear?
Yeah.
And actually recently...
So powerful, Zara. What would make you feel better to hear?
Exactly. And recently... We collaborated with our social worker on campus, and actually, after our podcast, if you want to walk down and take a look at it, we have a wall of kind of mantras, and in each little envelope, there's different emotions. So there's sad, happy, jealous, anxious, overwhelmed, lazy, whatever. The list goes on and on. And in each envelope, there's like a little card, and you take it out, and you can take it with you, and it has kind of like an affirmation. For that specific emotion. So Zenden kind of took it on the last quarter, and we kind of made it a little bit different. So we put on the corner, like, come to Zenden Wednesdays after school,
yeah.
A little promotional material. And then we also put on the other side, like, we talked about every single emotion. Like okay, let's look at these depression mantras. Okay, think about it, feel it. We're depressed right now. What would make us feel better to hear? And we switched up a lot of them because it's like some of them were super corny. I'm like, if I hear that, like, I'm not going to, that's not going to make me feel better.
Right.
Like there's certain things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, student to student is much more impactful just because we understand kids better.
Because they just need to honestly feel like they're not alone. And
exactly.
Once that happens, it's almost like the problems can kind of disappear.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I know I have felt very alone in, you know, being stressed and overwhelmed with school because it's kind of like, oh, well, I kind of put it on myself. You know, I'm the one taking the AP classes and I'm the one doing the extracurriculars and the research and, you know, yada, yada. Like,
sure.
I made these choices. So, you know, I felt discouraged before to, like, speak to anyone about it, about what's making me stressed or anxious because... You know, it's like, oh, well, this is your problem. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, it's my choices, but, like, I can do it. I'm not saying, like, oh, I need to, like, let go of my extracurriculars or drop my classes. Like, I'm not that stressed, but I just want to talk about it.
Right. It's hard. Let's just acknowledge that there are moments along the way that are more difficult and challenging than others.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you want to jump ship. It doesn't mean you want to completely abort the mission. It means, like... Okay, gosh, we're just in a rut right now. We're just,
yeah.
just stuck for a hot sec.
Yeah, and you stay in that rut if you're not talking about it. Like, if you're not getting the help and what you need, like, you're going to stay in that same position. You know, I read something like, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Yeah, it's called insanity.
Yeah.
That's literally the definition of it. That's what you're talking about. I know that you are somebody who volunteers with Teen Lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still something you're active in, or is it something that you used to do?
It's something that I used to do.
Okay. How did you get started in that space, and why did you want to do that?
So I think it was my sophomore or junior year. I was looking for, like, volunteer opportunities, and the social worker was like, oh, I saw this. I thought you'd be interested in it. I was like, okay. And it was, like, a six-week type of, like, intensive, like, training about mental health. And,
okay.
Like, each week was about different topics. So it was, like, depression and anxiety. And we kind of, like, went over that and what it means, and then also, like, how to help a student that's struggling with these things. And because, you know, the goal is to, like, work on the hotline and, you know, help students that are, you know, in a crisis in that situation.
Right.
So, you know, that requires, you know, training and things like that. So each week you have different topics, like we had drug, like runaway, teen pregnancy, things of that nature. And we kind of... when you're training, you're kind of doing scenarios of it. So, like, someone would... fake, like, you know, being on the other call, and you're like, okay, hi, like, oh, I understand that you feel this way because of this thing. And honestly, the main thing that I took away from all of that is that when you're trying to help someone that's going through a crisis like that, they want to feel heard.
Mm.
That is the biggest thing. Like, out of all that information and the knowledge and the experience, they want to feel heard more than anything. They want someone to listen to them. Like, why are they calling you? Because they need someone to hear them, to right. acknowledge that what they're going through is challenging, to, you know, maybe give them some guidance. Like, a lot of the times, you know, we'll give, you know, resources like, oh, there's this place and this place that you can go to, obviously depending on the situation. But many times the students, like, don't necessarily want the resources. They want to just feel heard and right. safe and, like, loved in a sense.
Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up a little bit, I want to ask you about, say there's somebody listening to our podcast right now, and they're like, I love this idea. I want to start the Zen Den at my high school, at my middle school. How did you put it together? After talking and winning over the suits, as I call them, the people that were, you know, that dress up for work, after you won those people over and they were aboard, what did you have to do next specifically?
I think it's important to start with your goals.
Okay.
What do you want? What's your objective? Like, for me, it was really important that kids felt they had an environment that was positive, that was happy, that was exciting. That's kind of my main goal. Like, I measure.
But that, it's important. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that means sometimes being sad in moments, being upset in moments, being angry in moments, because that is the path to positivity, is like getting this crap off your chest.
Exactly.
Right.
No, I think how you're going to measure success is different. For me, how I measure success is, like, are kids feeling better when they walked out than when they came in?
Yeah.
Like, are kids laughing? Mm. Like, one time I had this, it was, like, pretty recent, actually. I had a meeting, and it was, like, full-on chaos. Like, it was, there was a lot of kids, and, you know, there was no structure, and everyone was kind of, like, it was just chaotic, right? And I finished that meeting, and I was like, okay, we're done. That was a good meeting. And my friend was like, that was a good meeting? Like, that chaos was good? I was like, no, that was perfect. Like, they're laughing, they're enjoying their time, they're having fun. Kids are getting to know each other that, like, they didn't know each other in the past. Like, that is successful.
Yeah.
So I think that's important first, like, measuring your success.
Okay, so figure out your why, get your goals straightened out, and then what did you have to do? I'm guessing you have you had to recruit some friends.
Yeah, so it's, I started with, like, my friend. I kind of introduced her to the topic, and she loved it. So we just went ahead, and we made a flyer, and we recruited for it, and we put announcements in our school announcement, like, hey, come join Zenden. It's a mental health and wellness club spreading positivity. I think we said that there was going to be snacks available, so that helps. Kids love food.
Gotta go snacks. Gotta have snacks.
And our first meeting was, like, really, like, I think we had a pretty good turnout. We had, like, around 25 kids. And
that's incredible.
And everyone kind of introduced each other, and, like, I was making, like, a bunch of jokes, and my friend was making a bunch of jokes. And I think one thing that I stress about leadership and kind of being in that role is a leader is someone who listens, right? And I never want to be like, oh, I'm the president and I'm better than everyone else. No. It's more like we're on the same level. Like, we're friends. Like, I'm like friends with everybody that's in our club. Like, I have everyone's Instagram. It's very, you know, not formal, but I think kind of removing that, like, sense of authority is going to help kids feel comfortable and safe. And I think this can go with our school and administration as well, is that when you make a kid feel comfortable, they're going to talk. And in return, you're going to listen, you know, because they're comfortable and they're going to be honest with you. So, you know, every meeting is different. You know, I always like to take the consensus of the group. Like I said, I'm not like, oh, we're going to do it my way and this is how we're going to do it. No, I ask everyone's feedback and, like, okay, it seems like we were interested about this topic. Is that something you guys want to cover next week? Or are we interested in doing some more events on campus? That's kind of a big part of our club as well, is we want to learn and take that community that we have in our club and then bring it outside and, you know, help other kids.
I think this is really incredible what you're doing. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on this podcast. After, you know, I met Zara because we were at this Valley Leadership evening where they were celebrating the Man and Woman of the Year. It's just something that they do. And one of the people that was celebrated was Chad Gueston. Who's Chad Gueston?
Chad Gueston is our superintendent.
Yeah, and he is. And then you have a principal. What's her name?
Avalos, Miss Avalos.
Yes. And so both of them together are really instrumental in making sure that you are supported in this effort. You guys know how I feel. Everything starts at the top, including you, girlfriend, right? Like, honestly, I mean, for you to come in here as a student and create this, it's my opinion that you are creating something that could scale. Do you know what that means?
Explain it to me.
Okay, so in business, it's like creating an idea that you could put in almost any place and it would work.
Yes.
You, McDonald's scales, right? They're everywhere, on every corner now, right? You could have to me, the Zen Den should be in every single high school
campus
in America.
Oh, completely.
Right?
I also want to say that, like, there's definitely, like, other schools that have mental health clubs and things of that nature, but I think everyone should. I think it should be a requirement. Like, I want, in my vision of bettering our mental health as a community, it starts with our school. It starts with our education. And, you know, a lot of times when I speak to adults about that, like, it starts with our education, it's like, well, you know, that's like, you can never change that. Like, our education has been stagnant pretty much for the last, like, 100 years.
We won't
Everything
if we
has
have that
changed.
Attitude, right?
Right. Not much has changed, but it's students that are making the change. It's students that are, you know, talking with the superintendent about, like, these issues that are going on. And I think students can sometimes feel kind of small, like, oh, like, what am I going to do? Like, my voice doesn't necessarily, like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not that powerful. I don't have money. I don't, whatever. The list goes on and on. But it's like an email can be so powerful.
Sure.
Like emailing like your officials, your board members, the superintendent, like just starting, just having your ideas are so important. And that passion is going to get you in so much places in life.
I want to ask you this thing that I can't kind of keep thinking about as we talk, which is I'm wondering what do the other high school students in here at Phoenix Union at Central, what do you think they think of Zen Den? Do they think it's like this goofy thing? Do they have a stigma about it? Or do you think that they have a pretty good attitude about the Zen Den?
I mean,
honestly,
honestly, it goes both ways.
Okay.
There's definitely a stigma, like, you know, we could be doing an event and I could be like, oh, like, come write a letter to yourself. And it's like, it seems silly. And I also want to say, especially I feel like within men, because I think there's so much toxic masculinity.
Ugh,
and,
say it, girl.
You know,
please,
that
say
is
it.
Just a huge, huge issue. It's like, I feel like the female students that are getting help are more willing to like open up and kind of talk about these things. But I feel like especially within the guys, it's much more reserved. And, you know, men are more likely to die by suicide. And I think that statistic just says a lot about what's going on in our world. Like clearly there's an issue. And I think that culture, especially within, you know, athletes and within that community, it's like, no, you have to be tough. And you have to be a man, and you have to, you know, do all these things. Because if you cry, or if you talk about the fact that you're stressed or going through something, you're weak, and you're not useful in society. Which in reality, that's just stupid. Like it's just, I'm sorry.
Call it what
like,
it is, girl.
It's funny.
Call
like
what it is. It is stupid.
Like that doesn't make any sense.
Makes
like
no sense.
I think the more that you talk about these things, the more that you get it out.
Right.
It's just gonna change the culture. And
there's a time and a place for everything.
Exactly.
Like, don't get me wrong, right? If you're on the football team, it's probably not a great time and opportunity to break down and start
getting
with
game.
Your feelings, right? In the middle of a game. There is, you know, Celine Dion. I don't know. Do you know her?
Yeah.
The singer. She's this great
Iconic.
Quote. She has this great quote, which is, you don't have to be good all the time. You have to be good when it's time.
Yeah.
And I think we can apply that to our lives as a means to say, like, relax a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Like, we're not asking you to be perfect right now.
I love that.
It's okay to be a little messy in this moment.
I love that. I think I can definitely relate to that, especially as, you know, a student who I feel the need, like I need to be perfect all the time. I need to kind of represent my community and represent my school, and I need to always get the good grades, and I always need to take every leadership opportunity and, you know, fill every hour of my day and studying and things. And honestly, that caused me to burn out.
Yeah.
Like at the end of junior year, I reached ultimate burnout because I couldn't say no, and I had such a pressure that I needed to be perfect. And I think especially in students that are, you know, doing amazing and doing excellent, you know, and you get all these praise like,
sure,
oh, you're such a good student, Zara, like, wanna, oh, you totally got going. This, you know, like, and you want to like, oh, you have to meet all these expectations. But in reality, I couldn't be perfect. And it wasn't realistic for me to take on every single opportunity. And in the end, I just wasn't happy. I felt like I was letting myself down all the time. And it took me a while to realize that it's okay to say no. And I don't have to be perfect, because it's just not attainable. And I told myself that I'm just going to do what I love. You know, I love Zenden. You know, I'm really involved in our marketing program and things like that. I'm going to do what I love. I'm going to do what drives me and brings me passion, because I can't keep up in the way I was keeping up, you know, because like I said before, you can't keep doing the same thing and all expecting different results. So
let me wrap up like this. You have this great thing that you do at the Zenden, which is where everybody comes in and they talk about their highs and they talk about their lows. Let's you and I do the same thing as we wrap up this conversation. Okay.
Okay.
So, rock, paper, scissors, who goes first? Okay. Ready? We go both go paper. Oh, all right. I got scissors on paper. So you go first.
Okay.
What's your high? What's your low?
I like to start with a low, so I end with a high.
Okay.
I would say my low would be stressed out about school. I just have a lot of assignments I need to do. And I would say my high is being on the best podcast ever.
It's working out.
It's definitely my high. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, that's great. Listen, I'll take it, because I know it's authentic.
It is. Zara shared, I'm so excited to be here.
Shared with me before we even started that she had put out into the universe earlier this year that she wanted to get on some podcast and make this thing a real thing. And so look at you. You spoke it into the universe.
It's so amazing. This I'm so appreciative, because it feels really good to know that my voice is being heard.
Yes,
and it matters.
It does.
And, you know, especially as a first-generation student, like, I don't think I would have ever imagined myself being in this place, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to know that, you know, my future is going to be bright.
It sure is. Okay, my low, my
high,
Matthew,
right? Okay, Matthew, your turn.
Okay,
make it good.
My low was, let's see, probably a couple of days ago, I really got stressed out because I had, not too dissimilar from you, I had so many things on my calendar, so many things on my to-do list that I literally kind of made myself sick. Like, my stomach got nauseous and I just felt like, oh, awful and not good. And so that was definitely my low. The high was last night, my son's basketball team made it to the championship, which they played downtown at the Phoenix Suns Arena.
Oh, that's so cool.
And while we lost, we certainly enjoyed the heck out of the night, and it was a ton of fun to watch my son do what he loves to do.
Oh, that must be so rewarding.
It is cool.
Especially as a parent.
Right?
You know, seeing them have fun and enjoy their time. I think that's also, like, what's crucial to know is that, like, I think we all focus on the end game so much, on getting to that job or getting to that promotion or getting into that school. But, like, try to enjoy the process because it can be really fun and you can learn a lot along the way. So try to just enjoy the process.
We have certainly learned a lot from you too.
Okay, awesome. I learned so much too.
A podcast is appropriately called Learn From People Who Lived It. And you are you're the example of that. You're somebody living this right now. You've created this great landing point for your peers, which is unbelievable. And what's excellent from my vantage point is that this isn't the end game for you. Like, this is literally when somebody's building a snowman, you're literally just, you're building that base, that foundation right now. And there are more things coming for you, right?
I hope so. I really want to create an impact and just help my community in many ways. And I really want to just better our world a little bit, you know, make some people smile.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
So what are you going to do when you graduate? We'll wrap with that question. Yeah. What's the plan as far as you can see it?
So when I graduate, I want to go to university, and my goal is to get my MD. So after that is, you know, medical school and residency and that whole deal. But throughout undergrad, I really want to do research on mental health, and I really want to do more clubs and kind of do similar what I do with Zenden, but in my college community too. I doubt that I can just turn off my love for my extracurriculars like that. So I definitely want to continue that. And in the future, I really want to be a part of changing our public health administration and being a public health administrator. I want to open up facilities in Iraq, which is where my family is from, to give, you know, mental health services and health services to especially women. So I have a lot of things I want to do.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time, right? Yeah. But for now, I want to graduate.
And get that taken care of.
Yeah.
So I can't thank you enough for being with me today. Thank you so very much for being the person you are. I am delighted to see what happens to you next.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was such an honor, and I hope everyone has a beautiful day and smile today. Oh, that was so fun.
You did such a great job.
That was so cool.
We have three goals with Learn from People Who Lived It. One, to help you feel less alone. Two, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. Three, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn from People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn from People Who Lived It.